Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased to have as my guest Connie Strausheim with her new book, Insights into Lyme Disease Treatment. 13 Lyme-literate healthcare practitioners share their healing strategies. One of the reasons that I've been able to do as much as I do is because of these radio shows. And reading books like this is excellent because a lot of the patients that I treat for silicone toxicity that leads to immune problems, they do have resurgences of prior Lymes as well as other intracellular spirochete and even intracellular mycoplasma infections, viral infections and other things, mold exposures also decrease the immune system. So it's very good to get in this much detail what people are doing for Lyme's disease and other related spirochete diseases. I had interviewed the author of Cell Wall Deficient Forms, Dr. Lydia Matman, years ago, and learned that much of the science involved in cell wall deficient forms was being suppressed. She told me that the government gave her a court order not to discuss her work with physicians, which was interesting, probably because it's the basis of our biological warfare programs, and it's not supposed to be studied in universities and distributed freely because of that problem. So, Lyme's disease, who some people do feel has a weaponized component, is one of the new diseases on the horizon, as well as other intracellular diseases that have become a real problem in the world. And Connie has put together a great book with different practitioners showing what they're doing and how it's working for them. Welcome, Connie.
Thank you, Dr. Kolb. It's great to be here.
So, if I understand correctly, you had health challenges yourself. Is that right?
Yes, I had Lyme disease, actually, and it took me 14 doctors to get diagnosed, and I was finally diagnosed in 2005, and I have been recovering over the past 7 years, basically. So I believe that a book like this was much needed because there wasn't a lot of good information out on Lyme disease, chronic Lyme disease, when I first got sick, and there were even fewer doctors that understood how to treat it. And so I wrote this book because I wanted to find the doctors who are having success at it, and I believe it's been a very useful book for many people.
What I like about the book is that it has a lot of different approaches to it. I'm looking at the chapter 6, Ingo. Is it Wurzel?
His name is pronounced Wurzel, and it's a German name.
Right. He's
yeah.
a German doctor who's talking about biophoton therapy.
Yeah.
So a lot of the doctors in here, they discuss traditional therapies like antibiotics. They discuss herbal and homeopathic therapies, and then they get into diagnosis and treatment methods that involve the biofield or the energetic component of the human body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, in talking to other people with Lyme disease, people require different approaches. For some, antibiotics tend to be really harsh, and, you know, the energetic therapies can be more helpful for them. And the biophotons, you know, photons are, it's a type of light in our cells, which we ordinarily have, and when cells are diseased, they lose their light. And so what this machine does is it basically it restores light to the cells, but it also expels pathogens and toxins from the cells. And so it can be a helpful treatment for a lot of people. But I also know, you know, herbs have energetic properties as well, and I think that they can be a really great treatment also for people who don't tolerate antibiotics so well. And I personally required a combination of different treatments, but in the beginning I was too weak to tolerate antibiotics, and I didn't use them until the end of my own healing journey.
I have a lot of patients who have silicone toxicity or like saline implants in with mold in or around them. And if I try to treat them, especially the mold patients, if I try to treat them with antibiotics, even though I use antifungals, they just can't tolerate it. So it is important to have alternatives for, you know, these people have lab values of having Lyme disease, but then they also have known mold. So these combination diseases, one makes the other untreatable, and then the other makes the other untreatable. So you get in a quandary.
Yeah, and Lyme is extremely complicated because when most people get Lyme disease, they're not just dealing with infections. I mean, you know, they're not just dealing with the Lyme infections like Borrelia, Babesia, Bartonella. They tend to have problems like mold. They tend to have hormonal weaknesses or adrenal insufficiency and other problems which make treating the infections more difficult. And I think one mistake that some doctors make is that they focus exclusively on the infections, you know, and they don't work as much as on supporting the entire body, which is also really important. I think that's changing, but you know, I think it can be a problem when you just treat the infections because it's kind of like, well, why did the infections become a problem in the first place? What was wrong with the person's constitution that allowed their immune system to get weak so that the bugs could come in there and take over?
Yeah, and a lot of times that's primarily because they have an immune deficiency. And that's why there's so much discussion in your book by the practitioners about detoxification and how that I just read in one of these chapters that if you do a detoxification, they get better in 2 years, but if not, it can be 5 to 7 years. There you go.
Yeah.
So the role of detoxification in making the immune system work better should not be overlooked.
No,
so heavy metal analysis for arsenic and other chemicals. I mean, that's why people with silicone get sick, because all the chemicals that leak out, there's about 30 of them, including some of the carcinogenic hydrocarbons like methylethyl ketone and benzene and stuff like that, toluene, definitely need to get out of the system for the immune system to come back.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with you. And our environment has so many toxins in it, it's, you know, our bodies aren't equipped to deal with all this stuff, I think. And, you know, every year they approve more and more chemicals for use in industry. And I think it's a problem for people because a lot of people can't detoxify that stuff.
Right. So knowing if you have heavy metal toxicity, and in general, you know, it's where you grew up and whether you drank the water and whether you used pesticides on your, you know, ate organic or didn't eat organic. But in general, what I found is most of the people who grew up in the U.S. are toxic.
Yeah.
And sometimes people who grew up in India and other third world countries aren't, which is interesting. Although,
well, you know,
they may be now. I mean, the children in India may be toxic now. But people who grew up not in the U.S. tend to have less toxicity, which is interesting.
That is interesting, yeah. And I know Dr. Klinghart mentioned in one of his seminars that even Europe is 10 years behind the U.S. in the levels of toxicity that the people have.
Right.
But
it'll catch up. That is the problem.
Yeah, and you know what else is interesting is they're finding that 80% of people with Lyme disease have a condition called KPU, cryptopyroluria, which is a condition in which the body doesn't effectively synthesize heme. And so what it does is it binds with, instead it makes this mob-like substance which binds with the minerals in the body and carries them out. And minerals use the same receptor sites on cells as heavy metals. And so if you have the body deficient in minerals, then all the heavy metals, they tend to accumulate more in the body and attach to those receptor sites. And so I think, you know, people have found that treating this condition also really helps people to recover from Lyme.
Right, and I think these functional pathways are very important. I'm reading in here about, you know, the importance of getting the mercury out of the body, the importance of getting the detox pathways working. It may be that certain problems with the functional pathways set you up for these intracellular infections, through an immune mechanism. Or you get viruses. I mean, a lot of my patients have viruses. They have intracellular spirochetes. They may have intracellular mycoplasma. And the thing that really set them off, though, was when their implants either got infected or, and you know they're infected because we grow out bacteria and they have pain around their implants. I mean, when people have pain around implants, it's infection.
Yeah, and you're talking about
That's often the straw that broke the camel's back. Is that something happens with their implants, and then boom, they get really, really sick really quickly. And I think all these infections are just reactivating.
Mm-hmm.
I think when your immune system crashes, all the viruses that you had in your body, the and all the little bugs you have in your body just start growing.
Yeah, well, and I know some of the doctors in the Insights book, they did mention that as well, and it's kind of like they take advantage of the weakened immune system and then proliferate. But, yeah, and they also, you know, and they do the detoxification thing, as you mentioned, is really important, and just trying to get, you know, all the pathways right, because I know a lot of people with Lyme, you know, the doctors in Insights mentioned they have methylation defects I believe that, you know, it could be a defect in any number of areas, but a lot of it, you know, it just affects the body's ability to get rid of toxins. So when I interviewed the doctors for this book, that was one thing I asked them, is how do you detoxify a person, and what do you do if the person has these problems with detoxification?
Yep, that's true. And, you know, we want to talk a little bit about the three infections that you concentrate on in the book.
Yeah, sure.
You want to go through that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the first infection, which people tend to focus on most because doctors will say this is the infection that just hamstrings the immune system, is Borrelia. And typically the focus has been on Borrelia burgdorferi. But there are actually a lot of different Borrelias now that they're finding. And, for instance, a lab called Spirostat now, I think they test for, gosh, I'm just guessing, about approximately 10 strains of Borrelia. And this is the spirochetal organism that exists in three different forms in the body. And to treat it, you have to address each of the three different forms separately, especially if you're using antibiotics. I don't know if that applies to herbs as well, but... most of the doctors in the book, if they do use antibiotics, they combine them with herbs because the organism is really intelligent. It can change its DNA. It can hide in biofilm. It can alter its form. And so what you have to do is you have to constantly rotate the regimens that you have patients on, and usually you have to switch the antibiotics or the herbs or whatever you happen to be using. Now, if you're using a biophoton machine, for instance, then that's not necessarily the case because supposedly the biophotons will just address the spirochete in whatever form that it's in. So that's Borrelia. And then what happens is that, you know, this organism functions synergistically with the other organisms to disable the immune system. And the other two organisms that Lyme doctors tend to focus on, or the other two infections, are Babesia and Bartonella. And so Babesia is the blood parasite that it typically is really difficult to treat. And, you know, the doctor I worked with to get rid of my Lyme, he says Babesia is always the last organism to go, and you also have to be really aggressive with it. Unlike Borrelia, though, most of the doctors say you don't have to rotate the regimen as often because it doesn't adapt to drugs as quite as quickly as Borrelia. And most Lyme doctors will treat it with a combination of drugs like Mepra and Etobicoke with different herbs. And if you're doing, you know, strictly an herbal regimen, you might use Artemisia, Cryptolepis. There are five or six different herbs that are known for being effective against this organism, but you have to be pretty aggressive with it. And like Borrelia, there are a lot of different strains. I personally had seven different strains of Babesia, and, you know, which was, to me, was incredible, but... And for me, most people when they do these lab tests for Babesia, and I guess I'm making a little segue here, but the testing, mm-hmm. it's important to know that the testing for any of these organisms is never 100% accurate. In fact, a lot of people will test negative for the infections because their bodies, they don't make antibodies to the infections, or the organism isn't found in a particular sample. That they, like in the blood draw, the organism doesn't show up. In fact, Babesia is notorious for that. Most people will test negative on a PCR test. It's an antigen type test. And I actually tested positive on it because I was so infected. It was like in all my blood cells. But anyway, the Babesia organism is typically the second one that people are infected with. And so diagnosis for these organisms has to be it has to be based on clinical symptoms because the tests aren't accurate. I mean, the tests can be used to support a diagnosis, but Lyme literate doctors really just have to be able to recognize the organisms or the infections based on a symptom analysis. The third organism is Bartonella, and this one I get the feeling it's not as difficult to treat as Borrelia and Babesia, but it can cause a lot of symptoms. And by the way, there are symptoms in each one of these infections that overlap with one another, but each infection does have kind of a unique set of symptoms that if you study them enough, if you're a doctor that works with people that have them, you can learn to identify them, like which ones are prominent. But a lot of people with Lyme, most people that I know with Lyme have had all three and then some other ones as well. And Bartonella, like the other ones, can be treated with antibiotics and different herbs. So I think those are the main three that doctors focus on, although, you know, mycoplasma is also important. Q fever is one that comes up sometimes, Coxsackie virus, and then you know, all the viral stuff, all the opportunistic viruses that come out, like, you know, in addition to the fungus infections, the candida, the mold, all of that tends to be an important player in Lyme disease and people with Lyme.
Yeah, now that is one of the, obviously the most important thing is to try to make a diagnosis, whether you do it by lab test or clinically, if the lab tests aren't going to be accurate all the time, and start treatment with antibiotics, with herbal medicines, with homeopathics. But, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the people in here, a lot of the doctors in your book are really talking about healing the gut, treating insomnia, treating pain, balancing the hormones, supporting the immune system, and even going on for more spiritual things like relieving anxiety and depression, but also, you know, trying to get more support from financial and other support from the family. And so mm-hmm. this truly is holistic. I mean, they talk about diet, exercise, food allergies, you know, all the spiritual healing, energetic healing, mm-hmm. hyperbarics. It's just very interesting at how holistic these doctors are.
Yeah, well, you know, when I set out to write the book, I realized myself that healing wasn't just about giving remedies to get rid of the infections, because in my own healing journey, I realized that a holistic approach was important, that, you know, I had to pay attention to my diet. I had to try to have some kind of social life despite the fact that I was sick, and, you know, I had mm-hmm. to support my body because, you know, especially if you're weak constitutionally, just treating the infections, your body may not be strong enough to handle it, and you can make yourself worse, or you can make a patient worse if you're giving them hardcore treatments, but you're not supporting their detoxification processes, or you're not supporting the body. And so when I interviewed the doctors in Insights, I chose doctors that I knew purposely that they treated patients in a holistic manner. So, yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, you know, I really, for my belief personally, is that the spiritual component is just so important. I mean, you know, a lot of people, I think, get sick because of traumas in their life, and getting better requires going back, getting that trauma healed, or addressing the factors that caused the person to get sick in the first place, the lifestyle factors or the emotional factors.
Yeah, your immune system is definitely tied to your energy. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have good energy, then your immune function is intact. And when your energy drops all of a sudden, won't be too long before you get the sore throat or the bladder infection or whatever areas weakest will start to give you symptoms.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very true. And we see in many of these diseases, whether it be from the biotoxin pathway where the biotoxin knocks out the leptin receptors in the hypothalamus mm-hmm. and then takes out the entire endocrine system, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need an endocrine system. But with mold or even chemical toxicity can do something similar, mm-hmm. taking the adrenals and the thyroid out, and making too much ADH so you drink and pee all the time. Mm-hmm. We see that just
virtually every patient we treat here. We really need to, you know, try to balance everything back out. Endocrine,
yeah.
Immune, neurological support, especially with supplements, immune support with supplements, so
mm-hmm.
that you know, so that people can start to heal. Now, Lyme's is known, and I think these other infections too, really hit the nervous system.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about some of the symptoms people have when they have an infected nervous system?
Oh, yeah, it's just, you know, it varies a little from person to person, but most people with tick-borne infections have a lot of psychiatric symptoms, anxiety, depression. I personally used to have anxiety that was so bad, it was like somebody was holding a gun to my head 24 hours a day. It was an incredible irrational type of fear, and it can be really constant. And I know Bartonella is especially known for triggering that. And then, you know, Babesia tends to cause depression. But then there's a lot more to it than that. It's, you know, people have cognitive problems, brain fog, memory loss. They can have twitching sensations, Bell's palsy, just, you know, because the nervous system. And then, it affects the endocrine system because the HPA axis, because that's in the brain, you know, that then the hormones get out of whack as well, and that causes further all different kinds of symptoms. But, I think, you know, a lot of people, they develop things like agoraphobia, which is a fear of going out. Time takes on a surreal dimension. You don't process things in a rational light. There can be symptoms like numbness and tingling in the extremities. You know, those are also neurological symptoms. But there's a, you know, Dr. Burascano, who he's got this PDF on the internet, and it's got a list of all the symptoms, and there can be, I mean, I think there are probably 100 symptoms on there. And so it's a good checklist to go through if you suspect you have Lyme disease or if somebody you know you think has Lyme, because one person can have an entirely different set of symptoms than another person. Because for some people, for instance, it can manifest in chronic fatigue-like symptoms. And then for other people, it's more, like MS symptoms. There are things that a lot of people with Lyme have in common, but the symptom presentation is slightly different for each person.
And misdiagnosis of these diseases is common. Like sometimes when people get a lot of swelling of their lymph nodes, they're misdiagnosed with lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
When they have, like you said, the really bad GABA and other neurotransmitter deficiencies, they can be misdiagnosed as some phobia or some anxiety condition that is really secondary to another problem, not primary. Basically can have people misdiagnosed with depression and misdiagnosed with MS, lupus sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If your doctor has diagnosed you with one of these conditions and yet you really don't fit into the category and say your tests are still negative when they should be positive if you really had MS or lupus, Look to these infections. I think these infections are a lot more common than we know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know some, you know, there are some doctors who believe that anywhere from a quarter to three-quarters of the population has some Lyme infections, and whether or not people get sick depends on how many stressors they have going on in their bodies and how strong their immune systems are. But yeah, I think they're just really prevalent, and it seems like they're discovering new strains of the organisms all the time. And, you know, you got to wonder why that's happening.
Yeah, really. Well, there is changes in the electromagnetic field of the planet that have been
mm-hmm.
pretty interesting in the last
mm.
few years.
Oh, really?
And so, you know, maybe it's actually something is making it more friendly to this type of infection. I mean, bacteria
yeah.
are evolving just like we're evolving.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that you mentioned that too, it had me. Do the changes in the plant, do they have anything to do with the increase in the electromagnetic fields from like cell phones and just these forms of radiation? Because I know those are, you know, they make some people sick or they compound the disease.
Well, that's one problem. Electromagnetic pollution
mm-hmm.
is a definite problem with the immune system. A lot of people who get cancer, they're found to have you know, lived
yeah.
in an area with bad electromagnetics. But I'm talking more planetary here. I'm talking the fact that the poles are going around in circles, you know, like a 100-mile radius where it just goes around, and that had, and the magnetic of the planet is changing.
Oh, that's interesting.
We're being affected more by solar flares than we have mm-hmm. in a while, and we're going to be continue to be affected by solar flares. I think there are stressors on the planet that are different than, say, 10, 20 years ago. And, planetary stressors that could. The other thing, too, it appears that every, I can't remember exactly, 29,000 or something like that years is a cycle that speciation really goes up. In other words, new species form at an incredibly fast rate. This information mm-hmm. comes from David Wilcox, if mm-hmm. you want to look him up on YouTube. It's scientific research that he is just bringing to light. I don't think he did the research. I think he's just putting it all together, connecting the dots. But with speciation coming up right now, it makes sense that we have a lot of new species of everything, including Borrelia and mm-hmm. these other organisms.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
there's something in the air for speciation. How's that?
Yeah,
and evidently it happens every, it's cyclical, every, I think it's 29,000, it might be 36,000, I haven't memorized the numbers, but every cycle they have a huge increase in speciation, and they can go back several cycles and show this by mm-hmm. analyzing the, you know, the geological data.
Well, probably
the same thing, we have pole shifts every so often, you see.
Yeah.
And the pole shifts are related to the speciation. You know, when the electromagnetics go weird, then you get speciation.
Oh,
and we're in that period right now.
Well, that's really
so that
interesting. I wonder too if our widespread use of antibiotics, if that accelerates that at all, because they talk about, you know, organisms developing resistance to antibiotics because of their widespread use, and you know, they're able to evolve.
Yeah, one thing that's going to happen is if you have widespread use of cell wall antibiotics, then the bacteria become, you know, cell wall deficient forms
mm-hmm.
in order to avoid those antibiotics. So you have to take a look and see what kind of antibiotics are used in chicken and, you know, meat animals before they're slaughtered. And if those are mainly cell wall dependent antibiotics, then that's pushing the bacteria toward developing cell wall deficient forms and becoming intracellular. So diseases like interstitial cystitis, that's hard to pronounce, diseases like the ones you speak about in your book, or the mycoplasma, these are all things that would be pushed by use of antibiotics in industry.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, and I think most of the doctors and insights, they recommend maintaining an organic diet if you can.
Right.
For the reason that those hormones in the antibiotics in those animals, they affect our bodies as well.
And then there's the real horseshoe in the mix of GMO organisms.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the GMO organisms, genetically modified organisms that are now in our gut because we ate genetically modified corn, because it spread all over the world, and now they can't even guarantee that in Whole Foods you don't have some genetically modified corn, you know?
Yeah.
Whole Foods decided it can't say that because basically Bayer and Monsanto figured out that their seed is going everywhere. So we all have genetically modified organisms in us that are producing herbicides and other mm-hmm. things and changing things. Agrobacteria exists in the soil. It
mm-hmm.
can insert DNA into our DNA. Say it could insert mm-hmm. insect DNA into our DNA.
Wow.
That's what it does. That's why it was developed.
So
we've got all sorts of challenges from what we've done to create intracellular organisms for biological warfare, and then GMO. You mix them all together, we're all being exposed to them.
Yeah, yeah. No matter
probably
how
every single one of us. I don't think you can avoid especially now that Whole Foods said that it can't guarantee it, probably couldn't guarantee it when it did, you know.
Well, I know.
Yeah. So we're all exposed to these new technological
nightmares. You'd like to think that... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's why we're having these problems, because we're all exposed to genetically modified foods. We have genetically modified organisms in our gut. We have problems due to nanotechnology that isn't well studied.
Mm-hmm.
When you mix all this together, what you get is a society whose immune system is not good.
Yeah.
You see, it's a society. It's the whole society.
Yeah, and you. We can try to eat organic food, and that helps a little. But like you said, it's really hard to, avoid that completely. And now they're, I know that even organic companies are being pressured to adopt genetically modified organisms. But I've done a little study on this too, and I've noticed that they said that the first when genetically modified soy came out, allergies to soy rose by like 80%, and so it just shows, and there have been a lot of studies which show that people have become allergic to certain foods because they are genetically modified. And, because they kind of think, well, I have a corn allergy, but I don't have a corn allergy if I go to a part of the planet where corn still hasn't been modified.
Right.
But
that's true. You are allergic to genetically modified corn. And
mm-hmm.
soy, I know, depresses the immune system. Genetically modified soy, not regular soy.
Yeah.
I know from personal experience that I can't have soy anymore from that is genetically modified without it, really, because I'm real sensitive with my immune system, and it just takes it down. So at least in me, and I'm sure other patients like me, genetically modified soy is just not good. For the immune system, it's more than just allergies.
Oh yeah, I agree with you.
So I think we've created a mess.
Yeah, we sure have.
And it's not so much that the organisms are getting, stronger; it's that we're getting weaker.
That makes sense. And it's kind of like, I mean, I do think that people who are educated, we have an advantage over those who aren't. And I have to say, I didn't want to get Lyme disease, but one of the blessings of having gotten sick was that now I know what I can do to try to take care of myself. And, we can't avoid living on the polluted planet, and we can't completely avoid all this stuff. But there are things we can do to avoid some of the toxins, to avoid some of the bad food. And I think people that learn how to do this are going to be the ones in the end who, end up living longer, better lives. So I think, the education, the more people we can educate about it, about things you can do, the better off we're going to be as a society.
Yeah, and I, like you say, it's not, a lot of people are sick from a lot of things. And, I mean, you may have been identified first with Lyme's. I may have been identified first with a breast implant problem. Somebody else has mold issues. First, but the point is that it's rarely just one thing, because we're dealing with toxicity, and we're dealing with multiple problems. There's probably a problem list that is. It just depends on which month you're in, which problem is at the top of the list. Especially certain people with genetic predispositions, need to be very careful about being exposed to mold. And here the practitioners are saying that mold exposure can be, really a problem for people with these infections. And I think it's because it takes the immune system down, just like, genetically modified food does and heavy metal toxicity does. Each little component goes against the immune system. So really what we need to do is detox and then focus on getting our immune systems back up rather than taking a different antibiotic for every single organism we have.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I think, I just came back from the ILADS conference, the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society, and they were speaking, a lot of the presenters there were talking about how some of these other issues, they they can be a bigger deal than the Lyme infections. You know, mold for some people, I've had some practitioners say that it causes more symptoms than some of the infections. But again, it depends on the person. And like you said, it's never one thing. It's just, you know, it's like one thing on top of another. But the prominent thing isn't always, I don't believe the infections for some people. It's all the other stuff. And that's why, you know, when I interviewed the doctors and Insights, I asked them about candida and mold and,
right,
you know, endocrine.
Well, candida takes out the immune system, too. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
The biotoxins from candida are, it also causes a depression in some people. I call it
kind of
a candida depression, because when you treat just the yeast with Diflucan or some other powerful antifungal, be it herbal or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or homeopathic, we use Pleoalp here, too.
Mm-hmm.
The depression goes away.
I didn't give any
antidepressants, so there you go.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I'm actually doing a presentation tonight on how to treat depression in chronic illness, and I mentioned candida is one of the causative mm-hmm. factors for some people. You know, I mean, it's different again for everyone, but yeah, that's something. Yeah, that's another thing people should look into, because it's very common.
And, yeah, and speaking about candida, I mean, just in general, for whether you're fighting Lyme, cancer, candida, or a virus, you need to avoid sugar, excess sugar, mm-hmm. or any sugar if you're real sick, and you need to become alkaline. Those are critical things for all of those diseases. The more alkaline you are, the less critters grow in you, and the less sugar they have, the cancer cells and the critters don't eat so well, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You gotta starve them. And I find the thing that's not really paradoxical, though, is that when you have chronic illness, you tend to crave carbohydrates, because you have, you know, a lot of people have faulty carbohydrate metabolism, and so
mm-hmm.
they'll crave that stuff. And then if you have the organisms, you'll crave it because
right,
they're there and they want to be fed.
Yeah, because you have the deficiency. The organisms are eating the sugar up before it gets to you.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, just because a patient I saw today from Florida that actually has one of these, not sure which one because I haven't done the testing yet, but she has an intracellular disease as her primary problem.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any practitioners in Florida that we might be able to refer her to? Especially around Miami.
Yeah, around Miami. Well, I don't know of anyone in Miami off the top of my head. In North Florida, Dr. James Schaller practices there, and I know he knows a lot about different infections.
Mm-hmm.
But she might want to, two places when people ask me for recommendation where I tell them to go, because honestly, I don't know tons and tons of Lyme doctors. I mean, I know some, but ILADS.org sometimes has good recommendations, and then the LymeNet forum, which is a forum of, you know, lots of people that have tick-borne infections. Sometimes they can give a good recommendation, but
mm-hmm.
but of course, when it comes from you know, a patient, you have to. It's good to ask. Well, did this doctor really help you? And you know, make sure you ask questions and find out what their reputation is, because a lot of people, because it is a complex disease to treat.
Mm-hmm.
any chronic illness really, and so you want to get testimonials from people. And you want to learn about their methods and stuff, because you can waste a lot of time being with the wrong person.
Yeah, I think you need doctors that have a lot of different tools in their toolbox. I think that's the trick.
Yeah.
You know, we at Millennium, Dr. Gould is here in family practice, and he treats a lot of these diseases, and I
mm-hmm.
treat some. I'm more of a surgeon, but I certainly see people and then decide they have something different than requires surgery, and then oftentimes they want me to treat it, which is fine. But I think the important thing to do is to have multiple treatments all at once. I mean, I usually start antibiotics with herbals, with homeopathics, and with immune support, and then do an evaluation about detoxification at the same time. You know, talk about diet and try to get the body alkaline, and
mm-hmm.
you know, do as much as we can to get the biological terrain straightened out, so that the critters can't grow as quickly, and the patient has a little bit more time to you know, to recover. Then all of these great energetic things are also very good. The Rife machine, target specific things with frequencies. The biophoton machine just brings up all the energy in the body through putting biophotons in. There's just a lot of neat technologies out there that can help the biological terrain.
Oh yeah, and one thing Dr. Cowden mentions too, which I think is important, because I believe that, you know, emotional traumas and stuff that people store, or you know, harmful emotions, they carry a negative energetic frequency, and there are homeopathic remedies that can just release that. And you know, I was going to mention Dr. Cowden has one called ESOV, which I used myself, and I had really bad nightmares the first night I took it. And you know, the president of Nutramedics that makes this product, he says, oh, well, that's what it's supposed to do because you're releasing these emotional toxins. But I think homeopathy is just, you know, and energy medicine in general is just really helpful for people, especially those who aren't constitutionally very strong, because I think, at least my personal experience has been that, you know, energy techniques they're good for people that aren't, they're more gentle, I guess, I would say, than some of the biochemical treatments. And I've seen them do miracles. I mean, you know, homeopathy, if you have the exact remedy, it can turn a person around so quickly. I'm all for those kind of treatments.
Yeah, speaking about the, you know, the mind-body connection, and in fact, this will be the subject of Noetic Science Meeting, which is Thursday, November 17th. I'm part of compilation work with 42 authors, I think 42, close to that anyway, a book called Optimism, Cultivating the Magic Quality That Can Extend Your Lifespan, Boost Your Energy, and Make You Happy Now. And it's got a whole bunch of different people in it: Andrew Weil, Carolyn Mace, Steve Jobs, Jimmy Carter, Michelle Obama, Bono, Meryl Streep, Martha Stewart. And there's about, you know, I've been doing Temple of Health for now 17 years.
Oh,
I think
wow.
I counted 12 of the people in there that I've interviewed on the show. So there's a lot
great.
Of spiritual and consciousness researchers in there. Amit Goswami, who I've interviewed many times. Dawson Church, who's actually an editor of the book, publisher of the book. A friend of mine, Stephanie Marone, is the editor.
Mm-hmm.
And so a book like this would really help with, you know, with understanding negative emotions and how to undo them and just some real good, and there she really is in the book, really good recommendations of what to do with that.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And what's the name of it again?
Optimism. It's got a big, long title. It's called Cultivating the Magic Quality That Can Extend Your Lifespan, Boost Your Energy, and Make You Happy Now. But essentially, it came out about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's an anthology of, Prince Charles is in there, Queen Noor.
Wow.
It's truly international.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like an interesting mix of authors.
And they have dead people in there, too. Helen Keller wrote a great thing on optimism. Einstein is in there, Steve Jobs, who died recently. Norman Vincent Peale, of course. A lot of the self-help gurus are in there,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the spiritual leaders, Bernie Siegel, Andrew Weil, Carolyn Mace, I've got one over there, but I'm not going to go grab it, but other people who are, in the spiritual world as advisors and researchers
That reminds me, there's a book called The Healing Codes. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've interviewed the author of it, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, and I know it got some good reviews on Amazon, and people have said it works, and it's just based on the principle that we have these stored emotions, and they emit an energetic frequency, and you can reverse those frequencies by repeating certain positive affirmations and placing your hands on different parts of your, close to your face mostly, and that, you know, as you're doing this, you can basically reverse them, because the author's contention, and I'm forgetting his name at the moment, but his contention is that by doing this, you can reverse the frequency and thereby reverse the disease.
Yeah, right. It's an energetic method of clearing out the blockages that exist from previous traumas.
Right.
And it can be physical as well as emotional traumas. I mean, physical traumas do the same thing. I treat a lot of car accidents, so...
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's a real, that can be a real big physical trauma, you know, if the body's electromagnetic system just completely goes berserk.
I believe that. It's pretty shocking. Well, and then sometimes I think you have emotional traumas that attach to the physical traumas, right? I mean, like, you know...
Oh, sure. I mean, have you ever been in a bad car wreck? I mean, you're emotionally shooken up for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I was. Unfortunately, I didn't see the guy coming, so it wasn't as bad. But it put a scare in me for a while.
Right. Some people can't drive for a while.
Yeah.
Even riding a car. I mean, it can really affect the post-traumatic stress disorder. Can be severe.
Sure.
It depends on a lot of things, but you know, I think that there is a lot of evidence that cellular trauma exists. Both with emotional or abuse or physical trauma.
Yeah.
Or even just fear of physical trauma can disrupt things. I mean,
sure.
I mean, it's really, there's a lot of evidence that you don't actually have to have something happen. You just have to feel that it's going to happen, and it leaves a cellular mark on you.
Yeah, so, that's interesting. I believe it.
So clearing all of that is pretty important.
Sure.
Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour. Is there anything you'd like to tell our listening audience?
Gosh, well, I would just say, you know, if you have chronic illness involving Lyme disease, I would highly recommend the Insights book for a good look at a different mix of treatments that are available and doctors who are having success at treating their patients, because. And I would say that if you're someone with Lyme and you're looking for a doctor, it's absolutely essential to see a doctor that's very versed in these type of infections, that knows how to treat Lyme. It's just too complicated for, you know, a general practitioner who's not very experienced in it to treat. But there is hope, and, my own Lyme infections, most of them are in remission after many years of trial and error, and so... There is hope. You can get better, and I believe that the information that's found in Insights can just help you get just put you on the right path. So, and if anyone has any questions they want to email me about, I do try to answer emails, and my email is connie9824@aol.com, and the book's website is limeinsights.com. So thank you very much for having me, and. I just wish everyone well in their healing, and if you have any questions, feel free to email me.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Enjoyed your book.
Well, thanks so much, Dr. Cole.
Yeah, you're welcome. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Doug Bremner, who is an MD that went up against the pharmaceutical industry, and he's writing a book. Well, he wrote a book on the pharmaceutical industry, and then there was a retaliation, and because of that, he wrote a book called The Goose That Laid the Golden Egg, talking about the retaliation. That's pretty interesting. And then Lynn McTaggart is going to be back on the 26th of November with her book, The Bond. And basically, I think that's about it. Thank you very much for joining us for Temple of Health Radio Show. We've been interviewing Connie Strausheim, Insights into Lyme Disease Treatment. And we will be with you next week.